I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 589. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me this week, my crew, the co-host of the show. Let's start with Pete.
What's up? Going on?
And welcome back, Pete.
Thank you, sir.
How's everything, man? What's going on?
It's been a rough week for me. I don't want to take the show down, so we'll just leave it at that. So I'm hoping the show can bring me out of this funk that I've been in. But shout out, the show for me is dedicated to you, Noel.
All right. And also we have Paris in the house.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Let's talk to video games.
And then maybe some The Get Down later on, no?
I'm gonna ask no, because I haven't had a chance to get started on it at all. So
let's get it out of the way right now. Let's get it out of the way. There's zero spoilers, but it's freaking dope. I think the pilot episode kind of had already been rumored. It's a little slow because, you know, they're setting stuff up, but then, like, I'm only into episode two, but the vibe and just going back to that era, the birth of hip hop and everything, the Bronx back in the late 70s. I freaking love it, man. It's fantastic so far.
Really, really, really good, man. I like it, man. I like it. So yeah, check it out. The Get Down on Netflix. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes there and make sure to share with your friends and post your comments too if you want. Also, you could go to play.it/gamertag. You can check us there and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. Just look up Gamertag Radio and subscribe. And also, whenever you get the chance, write a review on iTunes. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. You could also leave a message through SpeakPipe. Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. And definitely we'll play in a show. And what else is going on? Let's see. Oh, well, September. September 2nd through the 4th, we're going to be in Los Angeles for Call of Duty XP 2016. We're definitely going to be checking that out. Paris and I are going to be there. Probably we're going to record some interviews and some great content for Gamertag Radio. So make sure to tune in. We have a lot of cool things planned for the event. Also, I know I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, The Messengers, a podcast documentary, still the Indiegogo is, still the campaign still going on, and it's going to end in 30 days. And, right now it's like 57% funded already. So thank you everybody that's been supporting. For more information, go to supportthemessengers.com. That's supportthemessengers.com. You can check out the trailer and everything, and it's pretty cool. All right. So let's talk about video games. I know you guys, great job on the last week's episode with Khalif. You guys talked about No Man's Sky. I was very curious about the game. The more I read about it, the more I'm like, okay, let me just not buy it. Because it's been kind of mixed reviews, especially now that the PC version just got released a couple of days ago. And I know, Paris, you were planning to purchase this version.
Not anymore.
Why? What's going on with the PC version?
Because it's It's basically a port of the PS4 version, and it's not been optimized properly for PC. It seems like the main issue is some of the older CPUs are having an issue with it, a lot of stuttering, lagging, etc. From what I see, my rig should be okay. I guess, I hope, but I'm not taking that risk of $60. So I'll wait. I'm going to wait a while. And just overall, since we're on that subject, and I appreciate Khalif coming on last week talking about the game and then promoting his site, allourskies.com. Again, if you're into No Man's Sky, definitely check out his site, get into all that, all the discovery, fine. I just don't know this is the game for me. And we have a mutual friend in the industry, and Pete, you actually commented on his Facebook post mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. He talked about he's put in 40 hours into it and he's done. And he gave some legitimate reasons as to why he just doesn't see a reason to continue the game. And I tend to agree with it. And it's like I feared going into this that this would be a game. It's a game of discovery, but it sounds like a lot of, and again, I'm saying sounds like, because I've not played it. So this is, take it with a grain of salt, like I trashed the Division. So it sounds like
you're already going from, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I told him one episode. This is, now we're moving on. But it sounds like you're going to every planet you're going to, you're basically doing a rinse and repeat of the same three or four things every time. Right. Inventory management, you know, the whole survival aspect. I get it. But why do I want to play this beyond the first 15 to 20 hours? That's my question to anyone that's playing it right now. That's still playing it. Tell me my incentive to continue to play this past the first 15 to 20 hours. Cause I'm not seeing it from the outside looking in, which again, at $60, I don't know if I want to make that investment with something that feels iffy to me. That's all I'm saying.
And don't get me wrong. I know there's people out there that they're listening. They're really into that stuff. So that's fine. That's cool. You know, I just personally, for me, I'd rather spend $60 on a different type of game that I know I'm going to play for a very long time.
So one of the things that's been disconcerting is PC is supposed to be the ultimate, you know, landing place for video games, right? It's supposed to be the best ecosystem for that, you know, because you have a mix of, you know, budget or basic equipment, and that expands all the way down to the higher end $3,000-$5,000 rigs.
Mm-hmm.
The PS4 doesn't seem to be having these type of issues because it's a sandboxed environment. Every box has the same exact components, kind of similar to Apple versus Android, where, you know, the consoles are the Apples and everybody else is the Androids, because you don't know what you're really going to get on every machine. And I've kind of been like hovering over the button of buying it for the PS4. The PC seems to be having actual like Paris said, yes, actually having software or driver issues that are for the most part responsible for the fixes. I tend to agree with what Paris said on not enough to get, you know, to get me to buy it, because $60 for something that's as buggy as this just doesn't seem to be the right thing. Maybe if they added more, I know Paris on that same thread that you and I were on, maybe adding mod support would make it a little bit more, make it something that, you know, make it more encouraging to maybe buy it on PC, to give it something else, you know, an alternate mode or something else to do on there. But I don't know. I think what Overwatch did, honestly, with the PC giving them a lower price, as well as, you know, and then maybe raising the price up for the console side, might not have been a bad idea or move for the industry. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Danny, what do you think? Do you think that maybe something like No Man's Sky at 40 on the PC versus $60 for a locked environment for, you know, PS4 and Xbox One, you think that maybe might have been a better idea? Maybe not for all games, but for games like Overwatch or like No Man's Sky?
$40?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a lot better, man.
I agree. Should've
$60 is $60 for a game that's like that. I don't know. For me to pay that amount, it has to have a lot more stuff than just exploring and that's it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, and I don't want to, because we're coming off semi haterish trash in the game, and I know that's not our intent. I know none of us are doing that. So
I, this is just a discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to make that clear to everyone listening, because look, we'll be getting emails from Australia if we continue. But it's like you said, it's a combination of the price, some of the technical issues. You know, not to mention the game had been delayed so long that this is the final product that we got. It makes me hesitant. And like I said, the social media aspect of it, I've seen a lot of positive things. I've seen negative things. It's kind of a 50-50. And the fact that I was already going in skeptical, it makes me just want to hold off. And it's kind of like the person that we're talking about, the Facebook post they had. They made the great point that if you wait 90 days, it's going to drop, you know, $20. You know, it's like if you can wait a few months, you're going to mess around and see a Steam sale for this thing probably by the winter for $20. You know what I mean? Something like that, which at that point, maybe that's my barrier that I'll jump in and check it out. But right now, I just feel like, and I don't know if they can fix this via DLC or whatever moving forward, it just seems content light. How many times can I go, and please, if you're listening, correct us if I'm wrong by saying this. How many times can I go to a planet, land on it, scan some plants, name it, see some animals, name them, pick up some resources, fix my ship, and then fly off to the next planet? How many times am I going to want to do that? That's my question. I don't. This game needed some type of social interaction, in my opinion. I needed to go to planets and see other people, interact with other people, collaborate with other people in these discoveries, and then maybe, you know, it would feel more content rich, and I'd want to continue to play it. Like for example, if Pete, Danny, and Khalif, if we all kind of had our own discovery group together and we were going to these planets together and working together, you know, to discover certain things, and kind of like Pete was mentioned, I don't know if it necessarily should be mods, because at that point, console gamers aren't going to necessarily be able to participate. Mm-hmm. But if there was just this global community collaboration in this type of game where we're all working together to discover planets and galaxies and whatever, I think that's where the sequel to No Man's Sky should go, in my personal opinion. I mean, again,
totally agree.
I would love to talk to Hello Games and just get their ideas on what they're thinking moving forward. But I just think this 1.0 product of the game is content light, and they just need to figure out a way to add more to it.
They're learning. They learn already from this game, and hopefully when they work on a sequel, they probably will add that. And the one thing I have to say that I give them major props, that they're trying to do something totally different than nobody else is doing. So that to me is a plus, because we need that in the industry, you know. So, you know, props to Hello Games.
So, man, with the support and maybe success that No Man's Sky has gotten, because I mean, just from a sales perspective, I think they've done pretty well. Do you think this potentially sets them up for a sequel? Do you think that's even in the discussion right now for Hello Games?
I would hope so, because it goes back to what Danny just said. We have in this gaming industry, at some point, you have to take risk. You have to create new IPs, new experiences, new things. This may not necessarily be the experience long term that I want to see, but the bones, the skeleton of something is there. I 100% see the potential of this universe that they're trying to build with No Man's Sky. So it would be a damn shame if they didn't get the opportunity to build on this with something else down the road. So you know, I would hope so. And like you said, Pete, it seems early, at least early on sales wise, they're okay. But I do worry about the backlash with the PC version having some issues, things like that. So I hope it sells enough that they do get a publisher to want to invest in them again to be able to make a proper sequel to this.
Definitely, man. By the way, I've been reading that Final Fantasy 15 might be delayed, but there's no official news yet. Probably by the time you listen to this, maybe we get an announcement from Square Enix. But now instead of releasing on September 30th, now it's coming out November 29th. Of 2016, Your thoughts on that, man? Do you think that's a smart move from Square Enix or a bad move?
It's a bad move. It's a bad move. You just miss Black Friday. You just miss prime time, you know, video game holiday season. Because once you get post Black Friday, you know, you're not, I mean, obviously the hardcore fans are still going to buy it, but mom and dad that are buying games for the little Johnny, they've already bought them and wrapped them up for the Christmas tree at that point.
True. But here's the thing. We're in like in the middle, Paris, because we want games to come out better than rushing it. Maybe they're working on a couple of bugs or a couple of things. Delaying for 2 months, it's great long term, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Also, because you don't want to release though. A game and bad press. The what?
It's still a rumor, though.
It is still a rumor. Still a rumor.
Yeah, we're just speculating. It's just speculating.
Yeah, speculating. But still, I think it's a good thing. I don't see... Yes, in a way, the business part, yes, I see them making a bad move with that, but it's good for them.
I'm going to give you the example, and it's funny because the numbers recently backed this up. Rainbow Six.
Okay.
Rainbow Six got delayed like that and came out in that weird time frame after Black Friday. It didn't have great initial sales, and it's funny because the game's so freaking good, you know, on the multiplayer side. It's actually gained more audience now than it did originally at launch because of the word of mouth. Now, I'm not saying Final Fantasy can't do the same thing, but look, we know this is a bottom line business, and a lot of these games depend on what it does in its first few weeks of sales, right? So if Square puts this out and, you know, go back to the Tomb Raider remake that they did a few years ago, this kind of shows to that. If it doesn't hit a certain number, it's quote unquote considered a failure because it didn't sell X millions of copies, you know, in the first few weeks, even though the game was great. And I'm not saying the game won't be great. I'm just saying putting it out in that particular time frame could hurt its initial sales. In my personal opinion, this is me, I would delay it till February at this point. Just take it out of holiday 2016 altogether, put it out in February where its only real competition at this point is going to be Horizon versus having to battle Call of Duty and, you know, and Gears of War 4 and the Skyrim remake and Titanfall 2. And just there's a lot of freaking games that's going to be battling in the holiday. Whereas you get post holiday, competition's less, it can shine more, and its initial sales will probably be bigger. In my personal opinion, I don't know nothing.
you're just a 42-year-old man. For
yeah, I'm just a 42-year-old St. Petersburg, Florida.
All right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. All right. The voice.
That was good.
Barry White.
Yeah. It's that early that morning. Good. It's that coffee, bro. It's that coffee sound, man. Let's go.
That's true. Well, Paris, we're in the Olympics now. What do you give Pete with that sound?
I give him a 4.3.
There you go.
I knew that was coming.
All right. So we have a couple voicemails and emails. Pete, quick question. Are you guys decided to pick a winner for this week, or in the next episode, you're going to mention the winner? You should give it a week, but
I say you do it another week.
Yeah, let's get a couple. Let's get a couple more.
By Thursday? Thursday's episode, maybe?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So here goes. This is the first question is for Paris, and it's about 4K gaming and also Destiny for the PC. Let's play right now.
What's up, GTR? This is Eustace from the 412, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just got down with y'all a couple months ago after the episode with Ryan McCaffrey on it. Really like what you guys are doing. You guys do good stuff. Keep up the good work. Just had a couple points based on last episode I wanted to touch on and see how y'all felt about that. As far as the PS4 Neo dropping in the fall, I wanted to know how how realistic you guys think that is, seeing the final dev kits aren't going out till next month after the event. I also want to know, Paris, I know you're a big 4K gamer. I'm doing 1440p myself with my 1070. I'm not big boy status yet, but do you really think 4K is that big of a deal? There's been a lot of people talking about the TV size, the viewing distance, and that you really can't notice unless you're sitting really close or you have a gigantic TV. I play on a 50-inch right now Samsung with my PC games, and I feel like I notice, but I'm only about 6 feet away. Also, one other question, Paris, since I've been kind of following your lead as far as the PS going the PC route, I wanted to know what you thought about if they were ever to put Destiny on PC, would you abandon your PS4 character and jump on the PC side? That's all I got for y'all today. Keep up the good work. I'm out.
All right, Paris. Is it a big deal, 4K? And if Destiny comes out for the PC, do you see yourself buying this?
Okay, I'll take the Destiny question first. The only way I would ditch my PlayStation 4 character is if I can transfer it to PC.
Not going
to
happen.
And I know it's not going to happen. So no, I wouldn't. Even though the PC version might technically look better, might be at 60 frames per second or something like that, I've already invested too much into my PlayStation Destiny character that no, I wouldn't, unless they gave me a way to keep all the experiences and everything that I've done these past 2 years. If I could transfer it over, then yes, but I doubt that's going to happen. So I would say no.
Wow. It sounds like 2015 all over again with me asking.
Going to his 4K question, like he's saying, he's playing on, what is he playing on? Did he say a 1070? I think he said 1070. And he's playing at 1440.
That was another listener. I don't think
that's
said,
another listener.
That's no, I'm one. Pretty sure he said a 1070. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. He says he's playing at 1440p on a 50-inch TV. I also play on a 50-inch TV, but I mean, obviously now with the 1080, I'm doing it 4K. I agree. I think there's definitely a difference. I notice a difference. Like I even noticed a difference from 1440p to going to 4K, like specifically with The Witcher 3, because I had always thought, 1440p is good enough. But then I was like, let me bump it to 4K. And I was like, okay. All right. I'm seeing what's going on here. I'm liking this. And I play about a good 5 to 6 feet away as well. So we're similar in that case. So yeah, I mean, 4K and HDR is the new check boxes going forward with gaming wise. So I'm not saying you need to run out and go get a Titan X so that you can play in 4K today. 1440p is good enough, but once you get into 4K, you'll see the difference, and you'll definitely want to try and have as many experiences in 4K as you possibly can.
I'm excited to finally play Forza Horizon 3 and also Gears 4K. I know you guys are going to try it out first for the PC. So that's going to be cool. I can't wait.
Now he had an initial part to this, and he was asking about the Neo launching this fall.
Right.
Would it launch this fall because the final dev kits haven't gone out yet? I'll actually tie this into Eurogamer has another article. They were talking about theoretically, could we see a power bump for the PlayStation Neo? They tend to think this late in the game because they feel like it is coming out this fall. And I agree with them now. That's probably too late. That any power bump that we're going to see is going to be minor versus the full 5.5 teraflop rumor thing that was happening. Because again, I was thinking if they did that, they're going to delay it. So it sounds like they've already locked in the specs enough that even though the final dev kits have not gone out yet, and there is precedent with this, Xbox One, even going back to the 360 days, I know final dev kits did not go out until very late before the final hardware launch. So devs already have a good enough idea to lock in specs on the game. So I fully expect September 7th, they're going to stage, they're going to announce a Neo, and it'll either be out late September or early October before PlayStation VR. And it probably sounds like it's going to be that $399 price point that's been rumored for the longest. You know, I think they're just going to go with what they have.
So you think this coming out this year still? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Why are you having a press conference September 7th to announce this thing?
A technical showcase.
Yes. They know.
But here's the thing.
It's coming. Here's the thing. Because I think it's tight.
Here's the thing, though, Paris.
Hold on. You know, hold on.
What?
Hold on.
You hold on, sir.
You asked him for his opinion.
I'm trying to give you, because you weren't here last week, so I'm trying to tell you what we're talking about. I think it's tied to VR. So I think it needs to come out at the same time as PlayStation VR, because, again, with this technical showcase, they want to show off PlayStation VR in the best light possible, and it's going to be with Neo. It's not going to be with the baseline PlayStation 4.
I think releasing two expensive hardware doesn't make sense for a company for the same year. Now, I think that this PlayStation 4 Neo is coming out early next year, spring of next year. Same thing with Nintendo. If Nintendo have this event in September, they're not gonna release this system this year too. They're gonna release it early next year. It makes sense to do that.
Now let me ask you this question.
Okay.
And let me get my entire thought out before you cut me off like you normally do. Why have an announcement on September 7th and not release it this holiday, when you effectively tank all of your PlayStation 4 sales for this holiday? Because then people that potentially would buy it were like, well, I'm waiting. I'll just wait until the better hardware comes out in February, whenever they're going to put it out, if you announce it now, versus, all right, we're announcing PlayStation Neo now, we're putting a price on it, and we're just going to launch it right away. You know, and don't forget, Andrew House, when he teased it right before E3, said they were looking more at kind of the Apple model for hardware launches. In other words, we're going to talk about it and then it's going to be out a few weeks later. Delaying it at this point, especially with PlayStation Experience, they'd have been better off holding off to PlayStation Experience to show off Neo if it wasn't coming out until 2017.
I mean, it makes sense, but dude, it's too expensive hardware, man.
It's choice. No one's forcing you, because you dropped the price of the original PlayStation 4 to, let's say, $250. No one's forcing you to get Neo. You get it because you can afford to get it. You have disposable income to get it, and you want it. It becomes a luxury item versus an item you need to play PlayStation. Because, again, that's part of the messaging that has to come out on September 7th. They have to make it known, we're not telling you you have to get a Neo. You get a Neo because you want a 4K Blu-ray player. You want to take advantage of the 1080p streaming that you'll be able to do to Twitch and things like that, versus what you can do on PlayStation 4. Just some of the up-res graphics that you're going to be able to see on the games, along with the VR experiences. But guess what? If you don't want to do that, here's our original PlayStation 4 for $250 now. It is the best value, because that's what they're going to sell it at. It is the best value that you can get on the console market today. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to pump up the old PlayStation 4 to make it seem like it's the new hotness, along with showing off the technical specs of whatever the Neo is going to be. And if they hit $399 and that thing, and it knocks it out of the park spec wise, because remember, Neo is still 15 months away. That gives them a big window to push out sales for that Neo before Scorpio comes.
There's a rumor that they might also announce a new PlayStation Vita. I hope they don't.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Who cares about Vita?
I think the name just has to. It's just happened to be in that whole rumor. But
so, well, the new system of PlayStation 4 Neo is going to be Vita related, like the name.
I don't know. I think that might be their relaunch for that. They're keeping the name, so they don't, you know, they try and capitalize on the old name, but new life. Vita that means life, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think so, Pat? I don't know. I just hope they don't announce a new Vita. That will be kind of crappy. Okay. Next question. This is a PC question for you guys, so we're going to play right now.
What's up, Gamer Tag Crew? This is Odie from Chicago. This question is more for Paris and Pete. I was looking at the 1070 and the 1060. I primarily game on 1080p, but I'm hoping to lock in 60 frames a second. But I'm the type of person to upgrade every, you know, 3-4 years. So I was thinking of going with the 1070, but everyone keeps saying that that's overkill for 1080p 60. I just wanted to get your thoughts. Love your show. I look forward to hearing it every week. Have a great one.
All right. PC experts, your thoughts?
I would say this, if money isn't an object, go ahead and get the 1070 because you future proof yourself more than getting a 1060, but a 1060 is going to be more than fine. At 1080p, 60 frames per second, you could even look at an AMD 480 if you don't mind going AMD. That'd be my two cents.
Agreed. Yeah, with the 1070, you can go beyond the 1080 limit and go to 1440 along with the, you know, along with, obviously with the resolution benefits of going from 1060 to 1070 to 1080. Best way to think about it, just 1060 if you want to go up to 1080, 1070 if you want to go to 1440, and then obviously the 1080p if you want to go up to the full 4K, you know, spectrum.
Okay. All right, Paris, I think it's time for our sponsor.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor, Gamefly. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. Just go to Gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. They'll let you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want, and you'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel it at any time. And like I said before, they now offer movie rentals too. So go to Gamefly.com/gamertag and start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by going to Gamefly.com/gamertag. So sign up today. Start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days at Gamefly.com/gamertag. You can get a Division. You can get No Man's Sky. You can get... what else can you get? You can get Madden's coming up. This is all kind of stuff. Forza,
Recore.
Yeah, Recore. That was too. What I was thinking of. That's coming up, you know,
yeah.
A lot of stuff. So definitely go to Gamefly, take advantage of that 30-day trial with the premium thing, and just check out some games.
Guys, it's free. Try it out. All right. So we have another question. This is from Lauren. Hey, guys. Women do listen, I swear. I'm like, all right, that's good. Thank you, Lauren. This is Lauren. I just wanted to thank you for all the many hours of laughs and listening to a great gaming podcast. I started listening to the podcast since Piracy were at the Guardian Radio a couple months ago. She's been hooked ever since. So thank you, Lauren. By the way, Time Class is always the master race. My question is for
Danny
all
has
of
no
you.
Idea what that means. Warlocks for life, but continue, please.
I do know what it means. I love Titan. That's my class, punk. She has a question for you.
Minister Raid.
For you guys. Do you think Rise of the Iron will actually bring people back to Destiny, or do you think it will only keep the old diehard players? Would like to hear your feedback on this. Because she said that some of those still play and some of those don't. So go for it.
Here's my thought. You're not coming back for Rise of Iron, in my personal opinion. So I think it leans more towards the player that it still is dipping their toe into Destiny. They'll pick up Rise of Iron and they'll keep playing because they're invested. I think Destiny 2 is going to be Activision and Bungie's chance to get more people that... were invested in year one, bailed on it and haven't returned, or people that never invested into Destiny. I think that's going to be the time. Rise of Iron, to me, just looks like a refinement. Like Bungie, in my opinion, we're all beta testers in year one. There's just no way around that, right? Taken King was that first step to refining the process of what Destiny, the game, should be moving forward. And I feel like with all the features and things that we're seeing with Rise of Iron now, they're locking that down even more and refining it even more as we move into Destiny 2. So if anything, I think this last year, Destiny has been the game that it always should have been at launch. And this is just more tweaking and refinement that people that are already invested are for sure going to throw the $30 at the screen so that they can pick up Rise of Iron and keep playing. I mean, and I've already, you know, pre-ordered it. I'm in, I'm ready. Let's go.
See, like for me, I think that I'm a little bit curious about it, so I probably will purchase it, but I just don't see myself playing it like P in Paris, you know, so, but I'm curious. I would like to try it out to see how it is. What about you, Pete?
I agree, simply because, I mean, I'm already,
hell, I'm now officially a level 300. I've put in the requisite time and effort to get my PlayStation 4 character above, you know, 300 at minimum. I still need to do raids and stuff like that just to knock them out and get better gear. But I mean, it was enough, like, you know, and I've said this before, it was enough talking in that one moment that Paris and I had with Deej over at E3, where it got me running back home. And hell, I mean, I spent a good 4 hours on it yesterday, you know, grinding and getting loot and getting my character up to 300. So apparently it's doing something, and it got me back into it. It actually got me into it to the point that I'm playing on a different console and doing that whole, like, it's not a full zero to level 40 light grind, because I used the 20, you know, the jump to 25, but it was enough apparently to get me back into the fold, and on a totally different character and starting with nothing. So Paris, I feel your pain. I know the struggle of jumping from zero to something. At that point, it's just a matter of whether you want to just, you know, switch altogether. You would lose the ability to play with all the people that you played with before. But if it is included in Xbox Anywhere, you could play with myself and unnamed EA people.
No.
On the Xbox.
You don't get the PlayStation exclusive. I can't even say it. You don't get the PlayStation exclusive content.
That's true.
So, I'll never be jumping to the Emerald. That's not happening.
Wow. Shots fired. All right. So you guys want to read another question?
Sure. Let's see. This one's from Colby. Actually, I think this came in late last night. Hey guys, it's Colby from Seattle. I got introduced to you via the Ryan McCaffrey episode, and I've been hooked ever since. I love the varying opinions, since they come from folks with day jobs versus full-time journalists. I just ran into an issue with Microsoft backward compatibility with 360 games on the Xbox One. I swore BioShock 1, 2, and Infinite were on the Xbox One backwards compatibility list. Heck, Infinite was, as I played, because it was a game, it was a Games with Gold title, and I played it on my Xbox One. I recently bought BioShock 1 for the Xbox 360 at the Seattle Retro Gaming Expo for $5, along with Red Dead Redemption. That's actually a pretty solid combo buy there. And I just put BioShock in my Xbox One, and it doesn't say I can play the game. I looked at my ready-to-install list of games on my Xbox One, and BioShock Infinite isn't listed there anymore. Taking a look back at the backwards compatibility list from Major Nelson's blog a couple months ago, and there isn't any BioShock game listed there anymore. This sounds like a publisher wanting their games removed from back compat so that they can make money off the newly released versions. This sucks. I really wanted to play BioShock 1 and never got to finish BioShock Infinite. I think I was near the end. What's your guys' thoughts on this? Keep it up, guys. Love the work you do.
Well, thanks, man. I don't think this game was announced for that, though. I don't remember that. I know they are releasing a remaster version soon. That thing is coming out. Is it this year?
Well, that's his point, though, Danny. That's what he's saying. The fact that they're putting out a remaster version. In other words, 2K was like, we don't need backwards compatibility on Xbox One for that, because we want you to buy our remaster so we can make more money.
No, that part I know. Yeah, originally, he said that it was on. They would work for Xbox One at first, but they never announced that.
I don't remember that either, but I haven't been paying that close attention either. So I don't know. But yeah. I guess the point I'm just trying to make is it's business. It's a business. The fact that these third party companies have that option and choice to hold back their games if they so choose. And if they're putting out this remaster and they're charging you, you know, $50-$60, however much it is to pick up this remaster, of course they don't want you to have backwards compatibility, because they want you to get their new version of the game. It's business.
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. Well, but thanks for the email, though. All right. Any other emails?
You know, I was going through a lot of them, or this Razer contest thing. I'm trying to wait. There's the Mario one. What is he saying? Oh, you know, you want me to read the Mario one that you had forwarded, that he had sent to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Hey, this is from Mario, and he says, I think you've shared on your show that you were thinking about getting an Xbox One S. He's talking to Danny. And he's saying, here's a good reason for you and your listeners to trade in a fat Xbox One for the Xbox One S. GameStop is currently through August 31st giving up to $150 for a fat Xbox One towards the purchase of an Xbox One S. Next year, you'll be able to trade in the Xbox One S for more money towards the Scorpio than what you would get for trading in a fat Xbox One. Plus, you enjoy the benefits of the Xbox One S until Scorpio comes out next year. On a side note, would you, Paris, and Pete still say that Uncharted 4 was that game, or have you changed your mind about that? I'll just jump in real quick and say, you know, I'm not going to get an Xbox One S, but if I flip this over to the Neo side, that's kind of my thinking, that if GameStop has a great trade-in incentive for the PlayStation 4, then I'll do that. I'll wind up getting a Neo at launch because I'll take advantage of the trade-in deal. If not, I'll probably hold off and wait and just sell my PlayStation 4 on my own. But to his Uncharted 4 thing, I mean, I know I've answered this already where I stopped playing. I never even finished the game. So obviously it wasn't that game for me, but I know you and Danny and Pete, you guys finished it. So what do you think?
I still think it's one of my favorite games this year. That's for me, you know. I think so.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, granted, that was my second foray into that whole world. I probably should go back and finish the other games from the Uncharted collection.
But is it that game? Is this the game that you would tell someone that doesn't own a PlayStation 4, go buy a PlayStation 4 because you need to play Uncharted 4?
Yes.
Yeah. I would still agree because it was the reason why I bought mine.
Okay.
And actually, now, I have a buddy at work that was playing through 3 on his PlayStation 4, and we told him about, you know, or I'm sorry, he was playing 3 on PlayStation 3, and we told him about 4, and he enjoyed the Uncharted series so much that he went out and bought an Uncharted a PS4 with the Uncharted collection just to play it. Well, not with the Uncharted collection, but he went out and bought a PS4 and played the game and loved it. And now he's playing with us on Destiny, which he's never played before. But yeah, I think it is worth it to get a PS4 just for the Uncharted 4. And thank you also for that info. I'm actually considering swapping in my Xbox Fat for the Slim.
See, that's the thing. I'm still debating if I should make that move or not.
Well, you're also giving up on Xbox One or Xbox Live anyway, so...
No, I'm not giving up.
You said this a couple of shows ago.
No, he's taking a break from it.
See, listen, Pete. Listen. He said taking a break until when another game comes out. And it's the same thing with PlayStation 4, PSN. You know, I'm also going to take a break from that until I feel it's like the right time to subscribe again. I've never said anything about giving up. But yeah, like I was saying, I'm still debating if I should trade this in and get an Xbox One S or just wait for Scorpio. I personally, right now, I feel like I should wait until Scorpio comes out next year. But I don't know what's the rush for me to buy Xbox One S. But what is your reason, Pete, for getting an Xbox One S?
Because it's slimmer and it's white and it has the integrated power. It's cleaner looking. I like it. I just like it better. That's about it.
Okay. You were going to say something, Paris, before...
No, I was going to say something I'm sure is going to make some people mad, but it's the truth. To be honest with you, when I think about PlayStation, you know, because I'm even saying I'm going to get a Neo and all that, but, I mean, keeping it 100, going back to this Uncharted 4 thing,
yeah,
I would probably not even see a reason to own a console if it wasn't for Destiny, because that's the only game I play on a PlayStation 4. I really would have no need for one at all. That's really where I am in my gaming life right now because, you know, we talked about this offline a little bit in the last few days. I'm starting to get ridiculously picky. If it's not a game I have to review, again, this No Man's Sky thing. I'm done with the blind buying. I'm just going to get it to get it, throw my coin purse at it. If I feel even the slightest bit of being hesitant, then I wait. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to be perfectly honest, PlayStation's first party lineup has been so freaking whack to me that I don't see anything there that would make me want to just run out and go get a PlayStation 4 just for the exclusive stuff. I swear to you, if it was not for Destiny, I would not play my PlayStation 4 at all. It would be collecting dust and I'd probably would have done what I did with my Xbox One. I mean, I'm in a similar, it's, you know, again, I'm not trying to diss Xbox first party lineup so much so that up until now, I've been very bored with it. I mean, the games that I thought that were I were going to anticipate bored me. Same with on PlayStation. Uncharted 4 bored me. I have no desire to go back and play that game right now. I just don't. It's really been the third-party games this generation
that have
fueled me to want to play games. And, you know, again, I've said it 10 million times, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, I have a PC that can do 4K gaming, so I play all my games on PC for the most part. But Destiny is one of those games I can't play on the PC, and obviously the preferred platform because of exclusive content is the PlayStation, which is why I played it on PlayStation. I mean, I'm getting a Neo, but the reason I'm getting a Neo is because it does the 4K stuff that I'll take advantage of, and my son and I play Destiny on his PlayStation 4. And we play NBA 2K16 sometimes as well. But if it wasn't for my son being into this, I mean, you know, I'd really be able to take it or leave it with consoles right now. But that's just me. And I know people get mad that I say that, but I'm just telling the truth. So I'm just being honest.
Hey, man, everybody's going to have different opinions. It's fine with that, you know. And now my question is to you, and also Pete, jump in whenever you get the chance. Is it being too picky a good thing or bad thing?
I think it's a good thing, because I'm 42-year-old grown man from St. Petersburg, Florida. I don't have time to be wasting money on games that I'm not going to play. Yeah. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, I used to just blind buy everything, get everything. Oh, I'm just getting it because it looks kind of cool. And you play it for an hour and you're like, this freaking sucks. And I just wasted my money, and you go trade it in for like a quarter of the price at GameStop or something. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, it needs to be a game I know I'm going to invest plenty of time into, or if it's an indie title that, you know, it might be a short experience, but it's going to be fun for that amount of time. You know, these games just, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm just getting super picky, and I know I am because I'm getting old and grumpy, but that's just me. You know, that's not everyone. I know a lot of people enjoy playing on consoles. Obviously, you know, hundreds of millions of people love playing on consoles all the time. If I did not have a PC, then of course I'd be a console gamer. But I can guarantee you my library would be very small. I wouldn't have a ton of games because, again, I'm just getting very picky.
Yeah, I think that I think Sony needs to step up with their first-party games, man. And like you said,
I think Microsoft, I think all of them do, to be honest with you. Now,
I know. Yeah,
no, I just want to say this one thing. I'm sorry, and I'm pulling you and cutting people off. But even Gears 4, I feel like, all right, I'm going to get Gears 4 and play it. I can tell you this, looking at the IGN first stuff, this ain't the game that they originally sold us 2 years ago. I'm just letting you know that right now. They sold this off as being a survival horror game, getting back to the original roots of Gears of War. This looks more like Gears of War 3 to me. And I don't know if that's necessarily what I want. Just saying.
Okay. I don't know what to say. Look, I'll tell you this. I think, is Microsoft doing a better job with first party games? In my opinion, yes. Is it perfect? No. I think, like you said, third party games has been top notch this generation, especially like games like, you know, Destiny, The Witcher, and so on. So we'll see what's going to happen in 2017, man. But look, even Ghost Recon, is it early 2017?
Yeah,
I'm
March.
Excited for that game.
Yeah, me too.
March. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for that game, you know. So anything else, Pete, you want to say before go to the last question? Or
no, let's knock out this last question.
Go for it.
Oh, I had to read it.
It sounded like you want to read it. It sounded like you were gonna read it.
Do we have
it's cool.
That's what I mean. A lot of them are this contest.
Yeah, they're trying to hit this contest stuff.
Don't read the part of the contest part. But I think there have been like questions. No. It has to be. Let me see.
All right. So we got this email from Dan, and it was actually part of the Razer contest that we're doing. So go back and listen to 588 if you need details about the contest. But we'll pick a winner next week. So I'm going to leave out the contest stuff, and I'll just get at to the end where he's saying, I really think episode 556 is one of my favorites for a grudge I'm holding against Paris. I reached out to him and gave him two Division PC codes, one for fans for a giveaway and one for him. To this day, in all caps, he still hasn't gave the game a shot. You guys are on 588 now. Congrats on almost being on 600 strong now. And thanks for getting me through the week. Keep doing you, Dan. I cracked up when I read this because we're friends on Steam. So I was sitting at my computer doing something a couple days ago, and I saw him pop online. He was playing No Man's Sky or something. So I started trash talking him. I was like, "You tell Ubisoft to make a game I actually want to play, and then I'll give the Division a shot." And then he responded back, and we had some dialogue. But no, Dan, thank you for that. That's funny because when we were talking about the Division last week, and that was the first thing I thought of because I'm like, "Yeah, I got the PC version." I'm like, "Well, technically, I didn't even pay for that because it was given to me." But I don't know, man. I'll give it a shot one day. I will. I promise I will. That day ain't today. That's all I got to say. And Chris, don't be mad at me from Australia. I'm just reading the emails. That's all I'm doing. Hands up.
I'm not doing nothing. Have you tried to beat the Division lately or not really at all?
Honestly, and I said this to Paris the other day, I've been so busy lately. I don't know if it's burnout on games in general or just on the games that I have. And short of yesterday where I spent a couple of hours on Destiny, like throughout the week, which is usually when I put my game time in and I don't do it on the weekend. And I don't know if maybe it's just TV has become more engaging lately with, you know, Stranger Things, the Olympics, et cetera. I've felt that vegging out on TV recently is more satisfying than video games. I don't know. Maybe I keep gravitating towards those rinse and repeat games where I'm just doing the same thing over and over again and I'm getting fed up with it. I guess that'll change when Rise of Iron comes out and I'll go back to going back to doing the same thing over and over again.
It's been like that with me though. Like, I think it's the whole summer thing, man.
Concerning Destiny or Division, I unfortunately haven't gone back to it as much as I loved playing it. Like he said, and others have said in fan mails, unfortunately, and I think who was it? Spaz mentioned it. This is the loot is there. Unfortunately, they nerf it right after the next update. So anything that you've gone back to and said, okay, I'm going to get this teal green gear set that's perfect for my gaming experience, the next update that comes up, they've nerfed it and it's useless. And now you have to go back to the grind to get a new gear set that fits the game until they nerf it on the next update. So it's, unfortunately, and maybe this is another case where Massive just needs to reevaluate how they're doing the DLCs so that they don't totally make useless all the work that you've put in over the last 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you know, before the last update, you know, because it's kind of annoying where you're spending, you know, and to an extent, I think Bungie did this with Destiny as well until they learned, okay, we can't totally make it useless. We have to make it still relevant within the game, just not just totally nerf it where it's totally useless, right? And I'm sure, Paris, you've played, you know, Destiny more than I have, and I've put in way too many hours as it is. You've seen this experience early on Destiny, but as the updates went, they didn't always nerf completely everything you did prior. It was always just a fine tune so that it wasn't completely OP, but still made it usable or playable.
Yeah, I mean, again, not to turn this into Destiny Talk Radio. They've done, you know, updates and things to various weapons. They've nerfed some. They've made some a little OP. And, you know, a few of them kind of hung around as being OP way too long, like Thorn, for example. You know, I've done some tweaks or grenades and things like that. But it's all been in them trying to balance the PvP experience, which I know we got in another email or voicemail where someone was pointing out the main issue that they've seen with the Division, even though they keep playing it, is the fact that they don't have a true PvP component in the Dark Zone, the way that what it's evolved into doesn't make up for that. You know what I mean? So I think both games have suffered from nerfing things way too much and making some things just way too OP. But the one thing that Bungie has done is they've continued to tweak the process. And I think it's not fair to the Division to compare them to Bungie in that sense, in that game hasn't even been out a year yet. They still need time. I'm not saying the Division won't evolve into being that game that the promise that it showed, you know, prior to launch. It just isn't there today. There's still time, but their biggest issue is keeping the audience there. What are they going to do to have the audience come back and keep them there? You know, that's the one trick that Destiny pulled off that the Division hasn't so far. Despite people complaining and dropping off and all that, they kept a substantial audience together. And Massive has to figure it out. They have to, or you know what, you might as well tank it and move on to Division 2 if that's the case. So I mean, we'll see. Yeah, we talk about a division way too much, by the way. I think we should stop talking about it because it's too much.
Yeah.
Same with Destiny. Right.
That's why we should just wrap it up. All right. Let's wrap it up and head over to gamertagwario.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes there. And sign up. Subscribe, go to iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. You can find us there. And give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com or speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there. So yeah, in a couple weeks, we're going to go to Los Angeles for the Call of Duty XP event happening during Labor Day weekend. So we're definitely going to be there, and there's going to a lot of content, plan to record a lot of content from there. So stay tuned with that. And we definitely have to record after the press conference of PlayStation. Is that on a Tuesday?
Thursday.
Wednesday?
It's a Thursday. Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's perfect. Okay. All right. We'll do that. We're recording that day. So we'll see what happens. So anything else, guys?
Wrap
it up.
Yeah, I got one more thing since, you know, we've kind of been trying to integrate more, just not necessarily our interpersonal lives, but just other interests beyond video games. I've had a lot of people over the last few weeks approaching me, asking me if I do any powerlifting, like, do I compete? And I'm always, no. And then, you know, just in the last couple of days, I swear to had like four different people ask me that. And I think I'm going to go for it. I think I'm going to sign up for an amateur power meet out here locally in Southern California and compete. Shit. Yeah. Because, I mean, because again, I'm, 42-year-old St. Petersburg, Florida. But at my age, I looked at it from my age. I'm already in that range now, so I could do it. There's some training I need to do specifically and some things I need to clean up, but I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm gonna do it by the end of this year, early next year. I'm going to do it.
Ooh, are you going to record some videos and stuff?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, if I once I go out there and do it, I'll have somebody record me and it'll be fun. It'll be fun to push myself and to see how far I can go. That's kind of why, I don't know if you saw, like, on my personal Facebook page, I had posted a video of me doing a deadlift, and I was talking about form check. That's why I got to clean my form up some more so I can go heavier.
That's why I gave him a 8 out of 8.
Well, good for you.
There you go.
A-hole.
So good. P, anything else?
No, man. No, just...
Good.
Just love the people that are around you. Again, going through some personal things. Again, this episode, I'm personally, you know, putting this one out there for Noel. He's unfortunately, he is no longer with us. You fought a strong fight, and I think your journey over the last week has brought a lot of people back to reality from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. And just in general, love your friends, love your family. That's it. I'm out.
Yeah, man. Definitely. On that note, we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.